You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You're tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Singer-songwriter John McDonough has been performing his music for nearly six decades. Originally from Chicago, John spent 25 years in Austin, Texas, before moving back to Chicago in 2020. In 2021, his CD, Second Chances, was nominated for Album of the Year by the Josie Awards and Blues and Roots magazine. John joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his new EP, We'll Answer the Call.
Hi, John. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hi. I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you again. We spoke almost a year ago, and you were just getting ready to release Second Chances, I think was the name of that record.
That's right. That's right. An acoustic CD called Second Chances about a year ago.
Yeah. So lots of stuff has happened, between now and then, and you've got a new record out. But for those folks who didn't get a chance to listen to our earlier conversation, we'll direct them back to June 1st of 2021 on AmericanaRhythm.com, and they can find that conversation there. But for those that would just want to jump in with us now, give us just a little bit of your story. If I remember correctly, you spent quite a few years in counseling and psychotherapy before you decided to check out of that and jump into your music full time.
That's exactly right. So lots of changes. So I was in Austin, Texas for 25 years, and there I was a working musician, but also a psychotherapist. So sort of doing music on the side, and that was great. But about 11 years ago, I just hit a point where I was getting quite burned out with doing therapy, and decided to take a break. And that break has turned into 11 years of doing music full time now. So I think I'm officially retired from therapy at this point and just going to do music. But
I can imagine you brought some pretty good stories with you to influence some of your songwriting, though.
Yeah, no, I did. I did back then. A lot of times I did. Because lots of my clients, you know, would really move me with their stories. And I would find that, you know, I would find myself expressing some of their stories in my songs, you know. And then the other big change that happened is that at the end of October of 2020, I moved to the Chicago area.
Okay.
And like I said, that was a big change because I was in Austin for 25 years.
Yeah.
And, but it's going well. It's been a good move. And I'd spend a lot of time in the area. My family's been here forever, so it wasn't. I knew what I was getting into.
So that was
still
home.
A big change.
Yeah, that was home originally for you. Then, so you went from Chicago to Austin.
Yeah, sort of. I never. My family moved to this area when I was about 16 or 17.
Okay.
So I didn't really grow up, or I wasn't really from this area. And I actually, honestly, I never really liked it, which is why I left immediately after high school. I ran back down south for warmer temperatures.
Yeah.
And, but they've been here ever since.
Okay.
So, over all those years, I've spent a lot of time here. And, after 25 years, I just felt like I was ready for a change, and Austin has changed a lot.
Right,
and
it has.
I felt like my music would go over better, in this area and more so the East Coast. So that was a big impetus for the change. Yeah.
So when we spoke last, Second Chances had just kind of come out, and you actually had some pretty good success with that. I think you were nominated for Album of the Year. A couple different entities acknowledged that.
Yes, so that was very exciting. The people did really respond, and so which was I was so moved by, because I was a little bit nervous. When you do an acoustic CD, especially this one was so stripped down. It was only two acoustic guitars, two vocals, and a little string section.
Mm.
And so, you know, the songs are really exposed. And I feel like, you know, the songs have to be good to hold up with it being stripped down.
Yeah.
And but, you know, that's also how I write all my songs, is just me and acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. So I sort of felt like it was also sort of honoring how the songs maybe should have been recorded the first time, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so people really responded. And so there's a big independent organization called the Josie Music Awards, actually out of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And they nominated the CD for Best Album of the Year. And then another organization called Blues and Roots Magazine, that's based in America and in Australia, they nominated it for Album of the Year.
That's
so
awesome.
I was very excited and very happy, because I did not see those things coming, at all.
And you released that kind of on the heels of the heart of the pandemic and the lockdown. Were you able to get out with that record and share it with live audiences?
You know, not as much as I'd hoped, which was disappointing. Because, I mean, I did get out. I did play a lot of local gigs around the area, and so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really get to tour with it. Because, as you know, the pandemic, it just kept coming and going and coming and going. And every time I tried to plan something, you know, another wave would hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really been on the road for a couple of years. So that was the only frustrating thing, is I didn't feel like I got to really get out and support it live as much as I'd hoped I would.
Yeah. I think a lot of musicians were in that boat. Yeah.
Exactly.
So a year later, you've got a new record out, and this, if I'm understanding correctly, is a bit of a change in direction for you.
Well, yes and no. So this is it's an EP, which is the first time I've ever done an EP, and so it's five songs, and it's a concept EP.
Mm-hmm.
So it's telling the story of something that I mean, it's not, so none of the songs are about me.
Mm-hmm.
So I am obsessed with this story. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but have you read the book called The Boys on the Boat by any chance?
No, I
heard of that story.
Yeah, I want you to tell the story. In doing some, you know, making some notes for a call here, I was fascinated by your fascination with this story and you bringing it to music. So I was excited to hear about it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling it my fascination, because most people call it my obsession.
So well, that would mean that you'd have to go back to your psychotherapy years and get some work done. So let's just call it a fascination.
Fascination sounds a little bit more healthy
than
obsession.
That's right.
So I appreciate that. So it's this unbelievable story. And I read this book by Dan Brown, which introduced me to the story of... It's about Joe Rance and the Washington Husky rowing team of the early 1930s, and they ended up going to Berlin for the 1936 Olympics and winning gold.
Mm.
And it's just this, and Joe Rance had this unbelievably difficult childhood, and basically had to take care of himself at 10, and was totally abandoned by his family at 15. And somehow through all that had the the perseverance and the character and the intellect to get himself through high school, get himself into college, make the rowing team, even though he had never rowed before in his life, because this was the only way he could afford to stay in college, was to be on the rowing team.
Right.
And then, and he was just a tough, you know, a tough, strong kid. And the whole team was full of kids like that. It was during the Depression. It was out west. You know, it was back then Seattle was a and Washington State was just, you know, a rough and tumble place. And so it's just this unbelievable story of these kids that came together with difficult backgrounds during a difficult time and ended up going to Berlin and winning the gold in 1936.
Wow.
And on top of the story of all that, you know, you've got what was going on in Berlin and Germany at the time. That's all part of the story. And I'm a big history buff and really into World War II. And, you know, speaking of my psychotherapy, this is where it still comes into play so much, because I love reading books and watching documentaries about people, especially people that have been through such difficult times and been able to come out the other side. And so I was so moved by this story. I mean, I read the book several times. Of course, Googled everything I could watch on YouTube, which is not much considering it took place in 36. But there are clips out there.
Really? Okay.
And then to top it off, the boat that they actually used to win gold in Berlin in 1936 has been restored.
Oh, wow.
And it's hung up in the boathouse in Washington now.
Wow.
And you know, it's a beautiful boat. It's a work of art, you know, and obviously the history. And I actually flew out to Seattle to see the boat.
Wow.
That's how fascinated I was with this story.
So
then I ended up I ended up writing these five songs, telling the complete story in five songs, and put out the EP, and it's going to come out June 17th. And I think it came out really good, so I'm excited to share it with people.
We're going to take a quick break from the interview. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
What is it about this story? I mean, you've elaborated some about your history and the interest in history and that kind of thing, but why this story? You know, it's so long ago and unfortunately probably not on the minds of many people anymore. What is it that about this particular story that made you want to go all the way to the point to write songs about it and record an album?
You know, I think there's just so many levels to it because it's not only the story of Joe Rantz, which is, he's the main focus of the book.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even like there's the guy, George Pocock is his name, who built these 8-man boats for rowing back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from England. He also had an incredible story and ended up working in the, you know, he had his shop in the Washington Boathouse, so he was very connected with this team. He came from England with his brother at like he was 20, his brother was 22. They literally had $40 to their name. Didn't know anyone, you know. They came to Canada first, then ended up in America. And he was like, you know, became the best boat builder in the country. And you know, and so he had a fascinating story. The coach had a fascinating story. The other kids in the boat had interesting stories. And then, like I said, then you add it to the backdrop of what was going on in Germany and with them ending up in Germany in the Olympics.
Right.
I think what just got me is just so many stories intertwined in this and so many amazing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so many stories of perseverance and just overcoming obstacle after obstacle, unbelievable odds of overcoming these things. You know, just moved me so much. And my plan was not to write these songs. I mean, I read the book a couple times and just loved it. And, you know, then, like I said, I went out to see the boat and, you know, I actually can't remember a time. I can't remember like what made me go, I'm going to write these songs. I don't remember a moment when that happened.
Yeah.
But it just sort of happened. And then I just sort of got really, and I always joke too that my life is really boring, which is a good thing. You know, there's just little drama in right, my life.
Right, right.
And so I often will write songs about other people that are having, you know, lives that are far more interesting than mine, mm-hmm. and having experienced things that I have not experienced.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
So this was obviously an opportunity for that on a grand scale.
Yeah.
You know.
How do you plan to share? Will you play these songs in a row when you get a chance to share them out? Is there a concept with the story that you use, that you're going to use to present it?
Yeah, that is such a good question and something I've been struggling with, because I have been playing the songs recently with the release coming up,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of have to gauge it gig by gig.
Mm.
Because if I have a gig where people are really listening and it's a listening audience and I can talk about the songs and talk about what's going on, then I will play the songs back to back, or at least maybe like say two or three back to back, and mm-hmm. then maybe the other couple a little bit later in the gig. But if I'm playing a gig, and I do play these gigs, you know, where I'm playing like say in a bar or restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and you know, people are talking and laughing and wanting to hear classic covers, you know, that makes it tougher to play them back to back and
yeah.
talk about them.
Yeah.
So then I sort of sneak them in here and there. You
know? Right, right, right. Yeah.
And I say a few words to try to get their interest, you know, but right. I understand the situation. I understand what they want.
Yeah.
So, you know, my dream, my goal is to be able to play listening rooms full time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where people are there to hear me and hear the music, where I can really talk about the songs and talk about the story and play them back to back. That is my goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's kind of
like I said, up to this point, I've had to sort of gauge it gig by gig.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, kind of use that as a segue into another question, which is kind of off the subject, but reading through, the notes, I noticed kind of towards the end there, it mentions you being interested and ready to get back into Roxy, which is an RV apparently that you have
yeah.
together that hopefully we'll be able to you'll be able to get out and share your music beyond just the Chicago area. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, yes. So about 4 years ago, I bought this a small RV for the sake of touring,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, and I was pretty nervous about it. Everyone was so I'm 6'3", so me in a small RV, you
right?
know,
yep.
can be a bit of a problem.
I can identify,
but yeah, and everyone around me was like telling me, you know, John, you're gonna spend 3 days in this thing and hate it. You know, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I stuck to my guns and I bought it, and it's been a great thing. I've had a blast in it.
Mm.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live in it full time, but you know, I've go before the pandemic hit, I would go out for 3 or 4 weeks and travel around and play music and then come back home. And it was, you know, it was really fun. So I'm so excited. My plan is to get back out in fall.
Mm. Okay.
And actually hit the East Coast and do that. You know, I had a big tour set up, but then I had to cancel it with the pandemic. I started to set up a second tour and then had to cancel it because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So this time I've been a little bit more wary, and I've been waiting to make sure that, you know, nothing was going to have to get canceled mm-hmm. before I tried to set it all up again.
Yeah.
But yes, and her name is Roxy, and and it's great. Like I said, it's a lot of, I just have a lot of fun, and it makes life a lot easier.
Sure.
You know, having it
yeah.
after the, if I have a late gig or something, to not have to worry about finding a hotel and to
right.
not have to worry about packing my stuff up and getting it into a hotel, you know, makes life a lot easier.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. It sounds exciting. I've heard a few other stories of some musicians doing it that way, and it seems to be kind of a thing that's that they've done, but it seems to be one of those things that's starting to become more popular as musicians are kind of in some ways trying to reinvent how they get around and how they share the music with the pandemic's changed so much. So,
yes,
I think it'll be, it's exciting to hear that story. What's next? Obviously you want to get this CD out and share it with folks. More original material on the way. Are you working towards a full length album?
Yeah. You know, so I have more songs that are written and some more that I would like to write that are about me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also have my other interest that actually has sort of my new fascination since I've sort of gotten past the boys in the boat a little bit is I've gotten really into the civil rights movement.
Okay.
And so I have – I'd like to – when I really get into something, I like to actually go to the place and see where things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so my new plan for February is I want to travel down to the South and go see all these spots where things happen for the civil rights movement in Alabama and, places like that. So, you know, I'm actually sort of thinking about doing another concept EP regarding civil rights moments.
Mm-hmm.
And also combining that with another EP of songs that are about me.
Mm. Okay.
And then sort of maybe releasing them back to back within maybe an 8-month period or something that. So that's sort of my long-term plan right now. But, you know, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, I never thought I'd do an EP. I sort of always thought that was sort of just like a cop out. I was like, you know, don't do an EP. Get to work and write some more songs and make a full length CD, But I've realized with these sort of concept ideas that I've had recently, it works better by itself. Sort of putting out a CD that's half songs about the boys in the boat and half songs about me. You know, I just was realizing that's really not going to work. Mm-hmm. I need to have these sort of separate, separate entities.
Nice, neat little packages.
Exactly. So that's my plan. But a lot of work to be done before I get back into the studio to start working on those things.
Yeah. Wow. Well, what an interesting life and sort of a shift even in gear in the last 12 months. And so I hope it does well for you. I'm fascinated to hear. Now I want to go actually look up the story a little bit and then hear your interpretation of the story through your music. So I hope it's received well and you get a lot of success with it.
Thanks. Yeah, so far it has been. It's interesting because people are so intrigued with, well, not only with the story of the boys in the boat, but also intrigued that I would be so into this that I would actually make an EP about it.
Yeah.
Sort of like you have been.
Right.
It makes people go, wait, I need to hear this because this is sort of not, not normal. So thanks a lot. So June 17th, it comes out and I'm excited, because I also wrote the songs in a way that they're definitely about the boys in the boat, clearly, but I tried to also make them a little bit more universal so they can apply to anyone.
Yeah.
And, people can relate to them.
Yeah.
Everyone can relate to them.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can people, find you and find the album and get a chance to hear some of the songs on it?
Yeah, so this is what I always tell people because my name is a mouthful and spelling it is sort of tough. So I set up a Twitter account that is John M Live, just JohnM and Live.
Okay.
And if you go there, the very first tweet, it's a pinned tweet, and the very first tweet consists of my website, my Facebook, Instagram.
Okay, good.
All the sites where people can find me. So it just makes it easy.
Sure.
So go to John M Live on Twitter, and then you can pick and choose how you want to follow me. And you can find me on my website. And then from the songs will be on there June 17th, but also on my website, you can easily find the links to Spotify and Apple Music and all those things.
Okay.
And the music will be on there as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, good. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, it was good talking to you again, and I wish you well with this, and hopefully we'll get to do this again in about a year.
I'll look forward to it, and hopefully I'll see you in Virginia, maybe, when I travel down there in Roxy.
Absolutely. That'll be great. Yeah, please let us know. We'll post your tour schedule. That'd be awesome.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.